It is August 28th, 2014, UWF-UFF bargaining. I'm Brendan Kelly.
I'm Michael Matamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Cindy Farriott.
Tom Oslovar.
Dean DeBolt.
John Finch.
Ryan Amin.
Steve Balco.
Jonathan, we have two questions. One is, if we're working on Appendix L.
Okay.
But there doesn't appear to be an I, a J, or a K. So did we jump three letters?
That was one of the things that you guys put forward. So
we can't remember why.
We think maybe we meant to say I, but I don't know. Maybe there is.
I think you said some reason that each of those letters were appendices for salary increases, and we can fill out the I, J, K. We'll fill that.
I have a vague recollection of that, but
it doesn't sound related.
But anyway, what goes in Appendix
L?
Appendix L, one of the things that we talked about in the sustained performance evaluations was having an appendix that defines specifically the individuals who are eligible for sustained performance evaluation.
That are not identified in the contract itself?
The contract itself, the language that we've signed in the MOU.
It says
in there specifically
these positions and those are in part in that. My recollection is that there were some sort of outliers that were also going to be included.
Well, it was something we were going to look at and see if there are other individuals who are in there. It just says,
it's the first paragraph in B.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So here it just says, beginning in 2015-2016 academic year and continuing thereafter, the university shall conduct SPEs on tenured faculty in the ranks of professor and associate professor, those in the ranks of university librarian and associate university librarian, and the positions identified at Appendix L.
Yeah,
these would be in addition to the ones that are identified.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're like the ones that...
Who is it?
Well, that's what we were going to look at and see. There were some questions about potentially if we had tenured position, like the associate ends, those positions, if we had anybody who might fall in that. The research associates, as far as I know, are all non-tenure track, right? And we've included them in the other system. The multi-year contract system. But I don't know. I mean, it's 300 people we represent, so I don't know if there's any, you know, tenured people there. I know the one person who's in my department who is it's Mamie, who has Mamie Hickson, who she's tenured, but she's an assistant professor and she's ineligible to go up for promotion. And so because she doesn't have a terminal degree, but she has been awarded tenure without a terminal degree so she's a permanent assistant professor. To my knowledge, she's the only person in the university who has that distinction right now, and that's something that so she would be ineligible under this description.
Right, but she would hit Appendix L list.
If that's someone we want to include.
Okay.
Right.
It sounds to me though that is someone you want.
That would be preferable. That might be something that is negotiated on an individual basis if she's the only person in the university, but it would also be fine to put it in the Appendix L. Mm-hmm.
So we were trying to type up Appendix L and didn't know what to write.
Okay.
Really?
Well, the question, I don't have the answer for this. Cindy, you might know some of the position, more about the position codes and the, you know, those sort of things, but it was just this open-ended question of, is there anyone that we're leaving out who is a tenured professor who has in name a different position title than associate or full, or like in library, like the university librarian or associate librarian. I think it was those, like, it'll say like the associate in those positions, assistant in. If we have any of those where they're tenured faculty, that's a slightly different title than just a standard associate or full professor, then those are the things that we would include in there. I don't have the answer for that.
We didn't either.
Okay.
Okay, but it's those faculty holding tenure in ranks other than those listed.
Yeah, equivalence of the ranks that are listed, but with a slightly different title, if there's any of those individual outliers.
I think I understand.
Mm-hmm. Can you just add a little like caveat at the end that says if somebody feels that they should be subject to an SBE and an advancement in that, they can petition the provost office or president's office? To...
I don't want to go that way.
Okay.
Let's not open up a...
Well, okay. Yeah, we could also put something, you know, kind of like we've done with the MOUs, you know, in the Appendix L, to say that this will be, we'll revisit this and define this, you know, as, because next year is the process in which we're rolling out the system
right.
And so that will give us time when a lot of this, assuming ratification and all that stuff takes place, that this stuff will be, you know.
Although I guess we could generically define it as those faculty, faculty members holding tenure, but in ranks other than...
Where it gets complicated is, as that, when we had talked about this, is that there's some faculty who will bifurcate tenure and promotion, right? And so, and they'll get tenure first, and then they'll be, so they'll be a tenured assistant professor. And we had talked about in the SPEs, but like we don't, the reason that we have both associate professor and tenured professor is that you don't want to get an assistant professor who's tenured to just perpetuate in that situation and not go up for associate professor. So that's why we had both of those as requirements. And that's why Mamie is a unique situation because she's ineligible to apply for associate professor.
So shouldn't you maybe spell this out for those who are ineligible?
If Mamie's the only one,
I think she's the only one.
Figure something out.
And we can
revisit. We don't have to open up a whole category if she's the only person.
Yeah, we don't want to name her in the contract.
No,
we don't. But we don't want to open another category if she's the only person.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So what we could do is we could scratch out the parenthetical.
Yeah.
We could do away with Appendix L. We could have a letter about her eligibility.
Just a sidebar letter that says she's included in whatever. If our intent is to make sure that she's part of the sustained performance evaluation process, then
we kind of did that with Chris Pomeroy. We did kind of that with Chris Pomeroy when I was chief negotiator. We did all the signing.
Remember,
we put it in the MOU about Chris because he was
not technically in the United
States.
One of the things too. I mean, we also don't give necessarily a definitive timeline in Article 11 for producing...
Appendix L.
The what?
For producing the list.
Yeah, for producing Appendix L. I mean, we can just leave the language as is and then produce Appendix L as needed. Like, we don't necessarily have to produce it for the completion of this contract.
No, we don't. But although...
I'd rather just scratch it out.
Someday somebody will look at it and say...
I'd rather just scratch it out. Well, just I'm just thinking out loud more than anything else. But what if we just took that? We're talking about 11.1B, right?
Yes.
Okay. So instead of saying tenured professors and associate professors, let's say tenured professors, associate and assistant professors.
It's the B one on page four, the other B.
We still need to look into whether or not there's other like those associate and positions if there's anyone who would fall under that category who might need to be included.
Well, if you said the same thing, if you said on tenure faculty in the ranks of professor, associate, and assistant professor, because the controlling term there being tenured.
Okay, why don't we say this? Why don't we leave the language like it is and say, or other positions agreed upon by both parties?
There you go. That'll work.
Okay.
I was just trying to.
Anyway, if somebody comes up later on.
Yeah,
we can disagree.
Okay. Yeah, because the reason I started about the language is I think
we would do that anyway, right? If it was an oversight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, if it was an overstay. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to encourage other people to start saying, well, what about me? I really am an assistant professor, but I really am. I mean, I don't want to open the door for a class of people that we don't intend to do it.
Okay.
Well, but you can offer
the cases that belong, no problem.
Well, and as Jonathan pointed out, we want to encourage people to become associates. I mean, that's where sustained performance becomes, encouraged.
Motivating.
Yeah. But the assistant, encouraging or, rewarding perpetual assistant.
We have a whole year until it goes into effect. Why don't we, if we have a need to fix the list, why don't we agree to fix it at the reopener?
All right, why don't we do this? Leave Appendix L in. Leave the language as it is. Leave Appendix L blank.
Yeah, that's my preference.
We'll populate Appendix L as we go.
I don't want to start changing language here that we've already TA'd. No one's going to put forward a file until a year after next, right? So we have some, and there has to be an announcement of eligible faculty to submit and all of that. So we're fine with it. I think that's a good
solution. Yeah. Because the only other way we're going to be able to lock it down is if we go through each of these 300 positions with some sort of analysis.
Yeah.
Okay,
good.
You said was that one question or two? You said you had the two questions.
The question was why we skipped three, and then what goes into it.
Oh, okay. Why we skipped three? I don't have the answer.
I don't have the answer. Okay. We should make it Appendix I. Maybe not. Forget it. I don't want to change anything.
What about signature pages? Is that something?
Here we have built an entire contract. What are we reviewing?
Okay.
So, well, and we can take a caucus while you look at it.
Signature pages are in the right before the appendices.
Okay. Was there any changes in your position on Article 25?
No, we plugged in what we ended up with at the end of the session. That's what we can do.
Okay. Well, we'll caucus on that. And then.
All right, everybody.
We are recording.
Okay. We've had a chance to look over, everything, and kind of before we get back into this, we as a team appreciate very much the work that we've been able to do collaboratively this year. I think we've got a lot of good things accomplished. At the same time, with Article 25 outstanding, faculty and our constituents at the university have, to my knowledge, in the history of the university, this is the most concerted effort put forward to clarify, their concerns about salaries and wages at the university. The proposal that was put forward by Faculty Senate calling for a balance between compression and across the board, it was endorsed by all factions of our constituents, of all of the college councils, the Faculty Senate, Staff Senate, the library staff, and the chairs and directors groups also endorsed that as a balanced approach to addressing wages. I think that each of our respective sides have moved as far as they can on that, I think it's actually a very narrow question about Article 25. The only thing that I see in disagreement in the entire contract, we're in agreement on all other components of the contract, is whether or not that $630,000, that's approximately $630,000, that's being put forward as a one-time bonus, if that should be provided in one-time funds, which is advocated by your team, or in recurring funds and distributed as a balance between compression and salary, which is advocated by faculty. So with that in mind, we really see, no choice except to call impasse in this situation. And for each team to be able just to present their side to the special magistrate, faculty, our constituents have made that, a top priority. And it's the only thing that we are in disagreement about. And we don't see that resolving in, a continued presence at the table as well. So Tom said that he will send the letter to Perk with that official declaration, and then we can move forward, I think, on that quickly.
If you would also, Tom, would you provide us, this is our This is our position?
Right.
If you would provide us your last position, just so that we...
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Know exactly where we're at.
You want that in an attachment to the letter to PERC? Is that what you're saying?
No. Just to us, so that we...
Okay, sure.
We have a side-by-side.
It's our last one that we put forward, which was it's 2% across the board and $300,000 in compression funds and recurring monies, exclusive of benefits. And in our calculations, that comes out to $630,000 in recurring funds rather than $630,000 in one-time funds.
Okay. And, you know, just to be clear, I think for the purposes of getting to a contract, we were still willing to do the MOU, which addressed under what conditions they would become recurring, but we're not able to put in that in our contract that this money is recurring. It's just not something we can rationally do at this time. All right. Does anybody have anything you want to?
No.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.